How is everybody doing? Hope you guys can hear me loud and clear. Y'all know me. I'm working all these different devices here. So make your way on in. How is everybody doing? We're going to tag and let some folks know we are here. Welcome to He Calls Me Beautiful One, Women Reaching Women in Crisis. So make your way on in. If you're watching in replay, just let me know you're watching in replay, but come on in, guys. Come on in. Some of you are probably at work, which is fine. You catch us in replay, which is wonderful, but make your way on in. How is everybody doing on this beautiful day that the Lord has made? I'm just going to tag in some people and get them on in here if possible. And if not, we're going to keep it moving. All right, guys. And I hope you guys are having a blessed day today. It is Wednesday. Wednesday is the day that we come on and we share here, talking about women reaching women in crisis. And the title of this program is He Calls Me Beautiful One. And I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. We're going to get started. Let me just type in all this stuff. That we got to type in. What I hate is having to, I'm going to move one device. It's turning my head going from one device to the next device. It is kind of driving me crazy when you have to do that. But that's a little better. Okay. Come on in. How's everybody doing? Good morning. Good afternoon. Whenever you're watching, I hope you join yourself. We are talking about He Calls Me Beautiful One. He Calls Me Beautiful One is a broadcast at Women Reaching Women that have gone through some kind of crisis, physical, sexual, some kind of crisis. And we are here to talk, chat, and share our stories to encourage and uplift each other. And if you're someone that needs help, someone that is going through a crisis, and you need help talking to someone, let me know. We'll give you the proper information. I am not a psychologist. I am not a therapist. I am just a woman of God who is sharing her story. And then many women that come on, that will be coming on and sharing their story, okay? So we're not here to counsel anyone or anything like that. I'm going to take these off. I can see a little bit. with my glasses on. Those are my reading glasses. But come on in. And as I said, we're here to reach women about it, who want to share about it, who or even need help in the crisis. And we are here to try to get that help to you. If you need help, we will connect you to the right organizations, the right phone numbers, the right people. But I created this as a platform for women to share and to encourage other women that are out there. We also have a private Facebook group. And as we begin to build, we will start to record out of the private Facebook group to keep everything private, basically. Okay, that your information is not put out there. Now, last week we came on, we talked about post-abortion trauma and what happens during that part of your life if you've dealt with abortions and so forth. So catch our videos from last week to get that, because today we're going to be talking about domestic violence. And we're coming today, I want to get into a little bit about the effect of domestic violence, how it affects the person that is the victim. And also, I'm a firm believer, advocate of how it affects children. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And as you guys are coming in, just say good morning. Just say, hey, where are you coming from? If you're coming in and so forth. And if you're hearing me loud and clear, also put that up there. I just want to move that so I can be able to see everybody that's coming in. So as I said, for today, we're going to talk a little bit about domestic violence. And domestic violence takes on several different forms, and it's not always physical. And I just want to share just some information. There are several categories when it comes to domestic violence or abuse and that exists. And they're often kind of work, they also often come together and they work together that these things happen. Abuse can be verbal, abuse can be emotional, abuse can be physical, and abuse can be sexual, and abuse can be spiritual. There are spiritual abuse, okay? So those things fall in the form of abuse, even with domestic violence. Domestic violence doesn't always have to be the physical of hands. I would say hands laying on, but domestic violence can come through verbal. Okay. So, and how to understand it, because not the physical ways. There are emotional domestic violence. Words do hurt. The abuse of words, being said to someone over and over and over and over, negative words over and over, is abuse. Because after a while, you become and conform to the words that you hear. That's why it's when you read the scriptures and when you read your word and when you constantly read words of encouragement, when you're reading words of affirmation, those things get in your spirit. And when they begin to get in your spirit, you begin to live the affirmation. You begin to live the positiveness. You begin to live the who I am, and I am smart. I am confident. I am beautiful. I am strong. And when you constantly do those positive affirmations, those things begin to get in your ear gates. They begin to get in your spirit. And then you begin to live those things out. Well, that's the same thing with the negative. That's the same thing when it comes to verbal domestic violence, because you're constantly saying these things. You're constantly saying the negative things. You're stupid. You're dumb. I hate you. You're ugly. You're fat. You're skinny. You're this. You're that. You're not perfect. Go do that. All that negativity begins to build up in a person, and they start to become the negativity-ness because they've heard it so much, because we learn through repetition. We learn when things are repeated, when you're in school and things are repeated, that is how you learn. A baby, how the baby learns to talk is because we repeat words and repeat sounds and we repeat topics and stuff to them, and they begin to pick up the words. So that's the same thing when it comes to a verbal domestic violence. When you hear it constantly over and over and over and over again, it begins to affect you in that way. And so domestic violence doesn't come in the form of the physical. It also could become in the form of verbal. Also, it comes in the form of mental health, emotional, all of that can form, because that the words become to affect their mental ability, and it gets in your spirit. So that mental health becomes so important when you're dealing with domestic violence. So I wanted to talk about a little bit about the effect of domestic violence and how it affects children. And sometimes we forget about the kids that are in the home that sees this, that are in the home that hears it, okay? And that are in the home that receives it, okay? What we see in our eyes and hear in our ears, we keep, okay? You can close your eyes, and if you hear something negative all the time, it's still in there. Okay, so even when we open our eyes and we see the physical abuse happening, when children see this happening in front of them, it affects them. And a lot of times we as parents and as adults, we don't understand that. We look at it as if they don't care or it doesn't affect them, but it does. And it may not show at that moment, but it does affect them as they get older. Okay, so seeing the domestic violence, seeing the hitting, seeing the abuse, seeing the pushing, seeing the throwing, seeing the beatings, it does affect children just as much as it affects the person that is happening to. And we have to be able to even give help to our children. There are a lot of programs out there for the women or for the person that's in the domestic violence, but there is not a lot out there for the children. And let me put that in there, what we're talking about, for those who are coming in late today, so you know what we're talking about. But let me see. We're going to put domestic violence in kids, how it affects. And I probably should have typed in it earlier. And it It does it affects our children more than we realize, okay? It affects them in so many ways that we don't realize. And in this world that we live in, I'm sorry, I'm trying to see if I can type it in here on the computer too, for those who are coming in on the computer. I mean, that's coming in on my other on StreamYard. Okay. It affects the children more than we realize. Okay. You're wondering why there are kids that go to school, they're lashing out of school because they've seen the domestic violence. They've seen it. They witnessed. And then they come to school and they think that's okay. They come to school and think that's how it's supposed to be. Or they come in school and they start to fail classes or they start to be lacking in classes. And teachers are wondering why this student here, who was our good student, all of a sudden their attitude's changing. The way their look is changing, how they're acting is changing, and you don't know what's going on. And you could be seeing signs of violence, domestic violence, or things that are happening in the home that the kids are coming to school and acting out in the school because of what they see at home. It even affects them as they get to be teenagers and get to be in relationships. You have young girls thinking it's okay for a guy to hit her. If he hits me, that's tell showing me he loves me because I've seen it at home, because I've seen it happen to my mom, and I've seen that she still loves the person that hits her. So she's thinking, so this young lady is in dating, in her dating stage of her life, thinking that it's okay to be hit and it's okay to be pushed around, and that's a way of you showing me that you care, and that's not true. And because we don't have anyone talking to them, there may be some programs out there. If there are, please let us know so we can get them out there so people will know there is help for our children and our young girls and our teenagers who are in a home where domestic violence is happening, not to maybe them, but to the other person, but how it affects them. And allowing them to talk about how it affects them, allowing them to talk about what they see. And it trickles down. Like I said, as they get older, when they start to date, when they start to be in relationship, they, it can go both ways. They will have an expectation of thinking that is correct and that is how we live. Or they will have the expectation where they have this wall up that they won't allow nobody in, not even Jesus, because of what they saw. And they pull in their mind, I'm not going to allow anybody else to do this. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where this is going to happen. So they put up these defense mechanisms, which no one can tear down, not even Jesus, because they won't even allow Jesus in to tear it down. And that could become dangerous. And so we don't want to live our lives in that way. Forgiveness is a strong thing, guys. Forgiveness, man, lot of power. People may say, well, they fear for you to move on and live. It's not if that person comes and apologize. It's not about that person saying they're sorry. It's not about that person acknowledge. It's about you forgiving that person because God is looking at you and what you are doing. Because see, we want God to forgive us, but we don't want to forgive other people. So in that scripture, how can he forgive you? You won't even forgive the person that you see every day. Yes, what they did was wrong. Not saying what they did was right, what they did was wrong. But forgiveness is a powerful thing. Forgiveness allows you to live in peace within yourself and not carry this guilt and hatred in you. And a lot of times people don't realize that they even are carrying it. And that's because you have submerged it so far down with so much stuff that it is so far down that it is stuck to your ribs. It is stuck to you. It reminds me of the movie Pirates of the Being when the God's dad was part of the ship. So when we submerge things down deep inside, and when we don't allow God to deliver us and move on these things and open up and allow God to do what God does, we become like that ship. We die, and we allow to burn out, be killed, and all that stuff. becomes a part of you, like it's attached. And any time when that ship got into, I think it was at nighttime, that's when the ship came alive. That's when everybody that was attached into the ship came alive, but they were skeletons. Well, that's the same thing that happens to us when we don't allow forgiveness to take its place. You begin to carry this part, becomes part of you to the point that it has become part of your life. It has stuck to you to the point that anytime someone comes across you wrong or says something wrong or does something that reminds you of what you saw as a child or what happened to you, that mold gets in and it comes out. It's like at night when the guys on the ship, when it got dark, they came out off the ship and they were skeletons. Well, all of that bitterness, hurt, and pain is the same way. When someone does you wrong, or when you meet a guy or meet a woman and they start to remind you of what you had to go through your previous relationships or what you saw, that stuff comes out. And that's because you wasn't delivered. And so you're carrying it around thinking it is okay. You're carrying all these, like Erica Badu, bag lady, you carrying all these bags. You can't get on the bus with all these bags. You got too many bags. You got more bags. You can't even fit in the seat. You got to get rid of some of these bags. You got to get rid of some of this stuff. You got to get rid of it because it's eating you up. It's tearing you apart. And so when our children see this stuff, they grow up to become adults carrying this stuff. Because no one talked to them about what they saw. And so they're carrying it and they're holding it in and it's eating them up and they don't know why. And they're trying to figure out, why do I act this way? Why do I talk this way? Why do I live this way? What is this stuff? But then it becomes normal. So it's normal to me. But in reality, it's not normal because no one ever talked to you about what you saw and how you felt about what you saw. Because that's how deliverance takes place. You can't walk around here and hold this stuff in because it eats you up alive like that ship. It's going to eat you up alive. It's going to kill you. But you have to talk about it. You have to go somewhere, see someone. I don't care if it's a therapist. I don't care if it's a group or what. You have to get it out of how you feel. Because if you don't, what happens is we take it out on those who that we love. We begin to take it out on other people and not the person that did it. And what happens when that person is dead and gone, that you can't go and say, look, I knew what you did. I saw what you did. I heard what you did. And I'm mad at you because you have a right to be angry. God says you can be angry, but sin not. You have a right to be angry. You have a right. All these people telling you that you don't, that's a lie. You have a right to be angry. You have a right to be mad. Because God knows when he gets you to that point, your deliverance is about to take place because you're ready to release it. But when you hold it in, you can't release what you hold it in. You only can get deliverance when you let go. So yes, you can voice your opinion. Yes, you can get angry. Yes, you can get mad. You have all right to do that. But do it with God. And do it and telling him, look, I am mad. I'm angry for what I saw when I was 7, for what I heard when I was 8, for what happened in the home when I was 12. And I had to deal with this and I had to give mom a pack and ice and stuff. And I'm the one that had to help her get to bed. And I'm the one that had to do all these things. And I've seen all this stuff and I'm mad, God, and it's hurting and I can't do it. Because when you do that, that's when God says, now you're ready for your deliverance. Now you're ready for me to work on you. Now you're ready for me to show you how to get through this. It may be going to a therapist. It's okay. Even with going to the therapist, you also got to add in Jesus Christ in all that too. And so when we do that, we can move on. But as a child and you saw these things and no one came to you and asked you, how do you feel? Or asked you what happened? Or say anything or allow you to voice your opinion. They just shield you up and you just closed up. Where that nothing can get in there, but you're holding all of this stuff for many, many years as an adult. So domestic violence affects children just as much as it affects the victim, male or female. If there are children in the home, they're seeing it, they're hearing it, it affects them too. So you have kids that can't stand a lot of noise. They can't stand a lot of yelling because they hear it so much in their home. And teachers probably can contest to this. You got kids that may be in your classroom that are like that. And you're trying to figure out why. And that could be what's going on. There's stuff in the household that their little ears and little minds can't handle. But there's not an adult that's an adult enough to sit and ask them and talk to them and allow them to share how they feel. Because we're too busy worrying about how we feel. Yes, our job is to get them to a safe place and get them out of that type of environment. Yes. But once you get them out of that environment, you need to talk to them. You need to find out how they feel, what they think, and let them know it's okay to feel and think the way they do. If they're angry, it's okay. If they're mad, it's okay. We have to allow people to know that is okay, because God is a God of deliverance. That's what God needs. He doesn't care. He wants you to talk with you, say what you got to say, because that's when he shows up and does his best work, when you start to let go. When you sit there and say, I am angry at God, because what's going to happen? That's your testimony. You're going to share, you know what? I was angry at God. I was mad at God because of what happened. But you know what? When I opened up my heart and I allowed God in, he delivered me from that. And he loved me, even in spite of how mad and angry I was. He still loved me and he still held on to me, because that's the type of God that we serve. Your shoulders ain't big enough to handle. His is. He wants you to boohoo. He wants you to cry. He wants you to let go. He wants you to surrender it over to him, because he is the only one that can help you through it. But it affects children. We're talking about how domestic violence affects kids that we don't realize. And then they begin to grow up to be bitter and angry adults, or they grow up and find themselves in a relationship. I've experienced that myself, and I had to begin to pray and say, God, we got to break this. Because what we don't realize, it may have happened to your mom, or let's back it up. It may happen to your grandmother, and it may happen to your mom. It trickled down, then it happens to you, and then it's happened to your daughter, and you're trying to figure out what in the world this comes, because it happened down the line of the generations. And I'm not saying it's not the victim's fault. No one's fault. It's something that's happened in the DNA. But because in that generation line, from grandma to your mom, to yourself, and to your daughter, no one talked about what happened. No one talked about the domestic violence. Everybody swept it under the rug, because, to be honest, it's an embarrassing thing, especially those of you who are in the house of God and those of you who are serving the Lord and you're dealing with this stuff in your home, in your life. You're embarrassed of the shame, your guilt. You feel like no one's going to hear you. You're embarrassed to share with anybody. You're ashamed. You put on all that makeup. You put on all those eyelashes. You dress to the nines because you don't want nobody to see the swords and the bruises and the hurt. And you cover them up. And it's a generational thing. Because nobody in the generation talked about it. Those secrets are killing the family dynamics. Because you're holding stuff in because you feel you're the one that can hold it in. No, you got to let it go, because it's killing you. You got to talk to somebody. You have to share it with somebody, even somebody in the family, because you're bringing down a generation of stuff that you don't realize. And no one's talking about it. Your daughter didn't tell you that it happened to her. You didn't tell your daughter it happened to you. Your mama didn't tell you that it happened to her. So now it happened to you and it happened to your daughter. But it could have stopped at your daughter if your mama would have told you. And then you were able to tell your daughter what to look out and what to focus on and what is this and what is that. But it didn't happen because your grandmama didn't tell nobody. Grandma didn't tell nobody that was going on. Grandma just sat there and took it. So then, but you heard it when you was growing up and you saw it, mama. And mama, you didn't say anything because they wouldn't allow you. So you kept it to yourself. But as a child, it was hurting you. As a child, it affected you, but you didn't say anything. So you grew up with it. So now you have a daughter. And now you said to tell your daughter. Now she sees it and she's hearing it and she's watching you and not say anything. So she, then it happens to her daughter. So it's a generational thing, because nobody talks about it. And so everybody's keeping it quiet. And not realizing maybe because she didn't have anybody to talk to, or she was taught, hold it in, don't say nothing. Oh, that's love. That's how he shows you he loves you. He hit you, or he did this to you, and all beat you and stuff. But that's not love. Okay, that God ain't say nothing about hitting the laying of hands. And laying of hands is laying to pray for you, not laying to beat you. But because no one talked about it, it trickles down. And it's not just the daughters. It trickles down even through your sons. When they become violent and they're hitting females, you know, and it goes down the line because no one talks about it. And we have to talk about how it affects the kids, because when they see this, they're thinking it's okay. Or on the flip side, when they see this, they got this attitude that they got walls up with everybody. You ain't getting in. Jesus ain't even getting in. I ain't gonna live. I'm gonna hurt you before you hurt me attitudes. I'm gonna take you out before you take me out attitudes. Or they live with the hatred to the point that God is saying, look, you got to get this off because it's killing you. Negativity, hatred brings on sickness. Okay? People don't want to be true with it, but that stuff brings on sickness. There are people out here so sick because of the hatred and the bitterness and the anger and the guilt that they're holding inside, and it's eating up them physically, and it's eating up them in a way that they're becoming sick. So we have to talk. This is why you have therapists. This is why you go to therapy, so you can talk to a professional. You can talk to someone. This is why they have domestic violence hotlines. This is why they have sexual abuse hotlines. This is why they have these hotlines, so you can call these hotlines and you can talk to someone. And their job is to listen. They're trained to listen. But we don't use those avenues, especially church folks. Yes, we need to pray to God, but we also need to go get, if you need therapy, go get therapy if you can afford therapy. Okay? Yes, we talk to God, we pray to God. But if you need to call that hotline and talk to some professional, you get on that hotline, you talk to a professional. And if you're scared and you have a best friend that you can talk to them. If you have someone in your life that you trust enough, talk to them, and maybe they can go with you. I'm going to hold your hand and we're going to go get you help together, because this is eating you up. But the first thing out of everything you do, and even everything when we come to Christ, is you have to make the acknowledgement that I have a problem and I need help. Salvation is the same way. Before you can receive anything, you have to speak out and admit, I need Christ in my life. I can't do this anymore by myself. So it's the same thing when you're dealing with domestic violence and when you need the help. There is help out there. There are people out there who are willing to help you get out of it, help you to deal with it. And I'm going to get on because we're getting by my hot time, but I am a firm believer of that. There's so many things. And let me read the definitions that people, that you can understand some of the definitions that comes with that. Okay. When it talks about domestic violence and the abuse, the spousal abuse. Okay. And there's so many avenues, and we may can get into a little bit more next time, but I don't want to hold you up. The following definitions can help victims understand that what they are experiencing is not normal. Okay. Abuse includes any behavior that treats someone improperly, wrongly, insultingly, harshly, or unjustly. Yeah, abusive interactions tear down, disrespect, devalue the relationship and the reciprocate. As a contrast, non-abusive relationships, mutual respect, value, and empower the participant. So non-abusive relationships, they give you respect, they give you value, they empower you. So if you're not getting any of that in a relationship, you could be in an abusive relationship. Spousal abuse can range from mild to severe and are intimate to chronic. Okay. Many people react in a destructive in a moment of passion. However, if it is rare and acknowledged, it doesn't have the same effect as chronic abuse. So, you know, spousal abuse, that's a whole nother category. But there is spousal abuse. There's sexual abuse. Okay. No means no. So you have all these things, emotional and verbal abuse, non-body language, including snares, stares, you know, certain looks and gestures, threats. Those are emotional, verbal abuse, manipulation, including the deliberate use of mind games and strategies to control or get one's way. Manipulation, oh my God, it's a big thing. We as women can manipulate men just as good as men can manipulate women. But those are signs of emotional abuse, denial, name calling. Oh my God, how many of y'all didn't know name calling? Name calling is a sign of emotional and verbal abuse. You know, the sign, these are some signs of these things are happening. You may need to seek help, seek someone that's out there that can help you if you find yourself in these things. Threats about physical violence towards animals, children, spouse, relatives, or friends, yelling, raging, expressive hostile anger. You know, all these things are some of the things, ridicule, mocking, telling jokes, belittling remarks, insults, ignoring spouse's requests and needs, purposely not responding to conversation, and the silent treatment. These are forms of emotional and verbal abuse. So if you come across these things, and these things are happening in your life, or if you've seen them, seek help. If you need those information, those phone numbers, put them in the comment section, and I will get you those numbers quickly as possible so that you can get help. But we're going to get off, and I really thank you guys for coming on. But I just wanted to get on and talk a little bit about the effects of domestic violence amongst children, because it does affect our children, and there's so much more we can talk about. When it comes to that, because it affects our children in so many different ways than we realize. We think they're not looking, listening, and we think they are not seeing, but they're hearing it. They're seeing it. Some of them are part of it, and it's affecting their lives. It's affecting their school. It's affecting how they deal with people and peers and friends. Some of them revert. They become introverts when they were extroverts. You know, someone become extroverts and when they were introverts. So all these things happen. And it's all these things that affect our kids. You know, their classwork. They're messing up in school, talking back, fighting, being disrespectful, skipping classes, smoking, getting high. You know, they're doing all these things because of what they see, because they're trying to get it out. And they don't know how to get it out. You have kids that are cutters because of what they see. They're cutting themselves or because of what's happening to them. So they cannot feel the pain. So it's so much with our children, you know, with so much going on in the world and the shootings and the violence. We have to look deeper. We got to go deeper to find out why are our kids reverting to some of this stuff. And sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves as an adults and parents and check ourselves and say, hey, you know what? The Bible says to provoke not your child. Is our environment provoking them to do these things? What type of environment are we having if they're in an environment where there's domestic violence, where they see all this abuse when they're receiving the abuse? You stupid. You make me sick. I'm sick of y'all. Y'all get on my nerves. Get out of my face. What do you want? I'm tired of y'all. Y'all just like y'all daddy. Get on my nerves. Give me this. Go take me here. Pick up this. Bring me this. Get out of my face. You know, or you fighting your kids like you they grown folks. You ain't whooping them. We done went beyond whooping with belts. We got folks out here fighting with hands, fists, and everything else. So, you know, we got all this stuff going on. So we'll talk about some more in our next episode next Wednesday. Try to meet us here again, or, you know, we'll start our private Facebook group where we really can talk. But if you guys enjoyed the conversation, what we're talking about, domestic violence, how it affects children, put it in the comment section, share with someone, let them know. All you guys that came on, I thank you guys for joining me. I thank you guys for coming on. And I'm trying to share. This is just what God gave me to come on and talk about some of the things that we don't talk about, that is hurting us as women, and be able to help and reach each other as women. And if you, someone has been through this, or if you come on here and you're a therapist or you're a doctor or counselor or someone, yeah, put your comments in the comment section, encourage someone, give them the information that they need. And, you know, that's what we're here for, is to help. No one should be by themselves going through this by themselves. There's too many people out here to have you and help you and have your hand and have your back and guide you to where you need to go. You just got to reach out to them. All right. Love y'all. Hope you guys enjoyed this. And I'll see you guys next time. And you guys have a wonderful day. And if you see any replay, put in a replay. You know the things. Like, share, put it out there. Let people know we are here. He calls me beautiful one. Women reaching women in crisis. All right. Women reaching women and girls. I'm sorry. In crisis. Because this also, we're talking about our young girls. And we're going to be getting to them soon. Okay. Thank y'all. Y'all have a wonderful day.